Everybody, I'm gonna sing a song. Oh, how I love Jesus. 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 Because he first loved me. To me, he is so wonderful. To me, he is so wonderful. To me, he is so wonderful. Because he first loved me. And then God has blotted them out. God has blotted them out. I'm happy and glad and free. God has blotted them out. I turn to Isaiah and see. Chapter 44, 22 and 3. He's blotted them out, and now I can shout, for that means me.
Hey, good morning, you guys. Wasn't that singing from Kennedy awesome? I'm telling you what, that's a blessing to see children get up and worship and serve the Lord. And I encourage you guys to get your pastors and your churches involved with letting the kids participate. I want to give a shout out to Brazil, England, and South Africa. I've heard from you guys this past week, and y'all are a blessing, okay? We love y'all. In the spirit, we're right here just like this. There's no separation in the spirit realm, okay? We love y'all. And I just want to tell y'all that, you know, me and my family, we might be dragging behind a little bit, but we just saw War Room. And bear with me, I'm fighting these sinuses, this cold that I've been fighting for a few weeks now, so my voice is kind of groggy. But I encourage y'all to see that movie War Room. It will put some fight back into your spirit, back into your prayer life. It'll give you some new wind up under your wings, okay? And how we should be doing warfare instead of fighting each other verbally and physically in the natural. Well, how we really should fight is spiritually. Okay, so we're going to get back into it. This is still our Nephilim series. Nephilim are here. This is part 7. We're going to be talking about aliens, which are demons, whistleblowers, dumbs, louche. That was something new that I learned about, which is food for aliens who are demons. Okay, I want to say it was last week. Someone gave me this information, and I tried to dig back and find their name, and I don't know if it's gone or if I just couldn't find it, but whoever it was that told me about this, God bless you, because this is right on track with where we're at, okay? They told me about this TV show that used to be on in the 60s, and it was called The Invaders. Now, look at this. I think this is a comic book cover. And you can't hardly make it out because it looks pretty old and worn. But it says, the fate of the earth is in David somebody's hands, whatever his last name is. The doomsday window. And you see him like he's running there. Then this guy has a shotgun and you see a UFO. Okay. Now, I had never heard of The Invaders. And they even told me, they said, you're probably too young to know about this series. But they brought it to my attention because it's speaking to what we're going through right now that we haven't known, okay? The description says, The Invaders. TV series ran from 1967 to 68. The Invaders, alien beings from a dying planet. Their destination, the Earth. Their purpose, to make it their world. David Vincent, oh, that's his name. David Vincent has seen them. For him, it began one lost night on a lonely country road, looking for a shortcut that he never found. It began with a closed, deserted diner. and a man too long without sleep to continue his journey. It began with the landing of a craft from another galaxy. Now, David Vincent knows that the invaders are here, that they have taken human form. Somehow, he must convince a disbelieving world that the nightmare has already begun. Do y'all see that? Look at this. Here I am, 2016, trying to convince the world that they're here, that the nightmare has begun, right? And this movie or TV series was back in the 60s. And when we think about what these guys have been telling us, the ones who've worked in the government, that they tell us that the government's been telling us through the TV shows, books, movies, cartoons, video games. And you look at this movie, and it's telling you this guy's trying to tell us that they're here, that they've taken human form, and that the nightmare has already begun. Think about it. Think about it. All the messages that God's been giving us has been plugging right into that same, you know, theme, okay? Now, I'm going to switch gears from that. I appreciate when you guys share that kind of stuff because that was a nugget that was dead on, okay? I want to go back and talk about Phil Snyder and William Cooper and some of the things that they shared, okay? Phil worked on 13 different bases. Remember, he was working on those deep underground military bases? He worked on 13 different ones, and he spoke about the government phasing into the UN. So our government phasing into the UN, and then he said, and that, the UN, phasing into New World Order. So it's all going to become that one solid ball, okay? And he said, and all of that was being driven by entities. And when we think entities, aliens, to be clear, he called them aliens. And in the church, the body of Christ, should recognize that as demons, okay? Now, look at this little demon on the screen right now. And I remember watching this when I was a kid, okay? And remember, they have rolled out sci-fi to us as, it's just fantasy, it's just imagination, it's just... it's not real. All right, E.T. Back in 1982, William Cooper, now remember, his father was in military, and then he came along and he was in military, and his whole family was involved in it. And that's where you get a lot of this information when those guys start telling what's been going on. He said this movie, E.T., was based on the only live alien that the government discovered in 1949 after two discs crashed near Roswell, New Mexico. He said they were combing the crash site, and it was on foot, it was on Jeep, they were doing it by helicopter. I mean, they were combing that area. Why? Because they wanted to get all the evidence and zip it up and shut it up so the public don't know nothing. So he said they were combing the crash site when they found him. They called him E.B., like B as in boy, not E.T., but E.B. And he said they had that standing for extraterrestrial biological entity. And he said that E.B., see, E.T., was really based on E.B. And he's telling us, he said they've been telling us all along, but see, we didn't know. Right? Just, it's just a movie. It's just entertainment. It's just Hollywood doing what they do. He said E.B. got ill, and they wanted to save him, and they began broadcasting out into outer space, hoping to contact other aliens that were of his same species and hoping that they would consider us friendly. E.B. died in June of 1952. There was no answer at that time from space. And they called that Project Sigma was E.T. call home. Remember how you kept, in the movie it was E.T. phone home? Okay, that was based on E.B. and it was Project Sigma. And they said, and this is me talking, and didn't they portray E.T. to be such a lovable little alien? Remember, those kids loved him by the time, and they were crying over him, and they didn't want him to go. And oh, you see how they're doing that? That's conditioning, because they want us to remember E.T. Oh, well, you're like E.T. And we loved E.T. We wanted to help him get back home. We didn't want him to die. Remember? Remember how fast he was learning? He sat in front of that TV, and that TV was just whizzing, and he was just such a genius and all of that. You think about it. So anyway, William Cooper said that for sure, and he said, if you'll watch the movies, he said, the government's been putting everything out in the movies. The government. He didn't say Hollywood. Remember, who's running what? Remember? Okay. And it's been right in our faces, but we haven't, you know, realized. But now we're getting it, okay? There's a lot of people that are ahead of me for sure, okay? I'm not the only one speaking about this stuff. And there's people that have been telling me they've been researching this for years, that God's been opening their eyes, and that they've already been on board, and that they're happy that somebody else is bringing it to light. Now, Karen Hudez, I've talked about her a lot. Miss Linda was somebody that when she was doing one of her news programs, I clicked on that, and I was like, well, what did that lady have to say? What was that all about? And I looked into it. She was the World Bank whistleblower that said the Coneheads, and we've seen that on Saturday Night Live, in that skit where they had Dan Aykroyd and Jane Curtin, and they had those big Coneheads. They're aliens, demons. And she said the Coneheads sit in the meetings and make all the decisions and give the orders. Now, another whistleblower, Edward Snowden. And we've talked about him a lot recently. And I want to tell you something, because I have people coming against these whistleblowers. And yes, it's not a secret that the Illuminati will fund both sides, so to speak. And they'll put truth out in both arenas, so that if they have to recall something and say, oh, that was false, that they can do it. They got a leg to fall back on, okay? So sometimes these people are playing a dual purpose with what they're letting them leak out, okay? Edward Snowden said, we are being run by a shadow government of aliens, which are demons. He said, the United States government has been secretly run by a shadow government of space aliens since 1945. Yes, space aliens, which are demons. He said the alien government is based out of Nevada and had previously run Nazi Germany. That's not a stretch. If you look into what Hitler and the Nazis were doing, you look into how deep they were into the occult, and you look into the areas that they were researching and what they were digging for and looking for, you'll hit a boatload of information when you dig into Hitler. The controversial NSA programs are actually a tool for the aliens to hide their presence on Earth and their secret agenda for global domination. This information was reported by Iran's Fars News Agency. Now, remember, NSA, CIA, FBI, all of the initials, all of them, they're not up for our best interest. They're not even working for us. They could care less. Most of them have just been made up to serve their own purposes, okay? When you start looking into black projects and where all the money's going, you'll find out real quick that's where it's at. And they're working just like this with them. Now, Phil Snyder worked in over 70 countries, and he had a level 3 clearance for NATO. He said the dumbs are there in case of martial law. That's what all these dumbs all around the world are for, martial law. He said that. He was killed in 96. When he gave this speech, there were 131 dumbs at that time. The dumbs are being used against us. I've been talking about what's in there, in those dumbs, where you have human beings working alongside demons. So these demons are manifest in the flesh, where they have a house, a body. They're moving, walking, talking, breathing. You could touch them. Not like we think a spirit demon floating around. Those are still with us too. But now we have demons that have openly manifest, okay? And they've been here for quite a while. And all of their experiments that they're doing on animals in these dumps, where do you think these laboratories are at that Tom Horn and different people are exposing and talking about? Same thing with what they're doing with still trying to create their hybrids. And it's not that they're trying. That's probably not the best word to use. They're doing it, and they've been doing it, where they have part human, part animal, and it's limitless for what they've tried to keep under wraps from us. So he said the dumbs are being used against us. He talked about how our military, way back at that time, was training foreign troops on American soil. Now, there's never a time when your military should be working with a foreign troop, especially on your own soil. And he stated that there were 39 prison camps. And he said they're being called boot camps. And we now know them as FEMA camps. I got a clip I want us to listen to real quick. It's a short one.
But you don't have that much time to take away Americans' guns, declare martial law, and put hardworking Americans in FEMA camps. If you're going to do that, you better get started.
That's pretty much in our faces, y'all. And you see, they tell us, y'all are just paranoid. Oh, y'all are just some crazies. Oh, well, wow. That's on primetime television.
Yeah.
Or satellite, whatever, cable, whatever it is on TV. Okay? I want to tell you something. Haven't y'all ever had that kind of a friend or somebody who makes a joke and then they laugh it off like it's just a joke? But you and they both know that there's real underlying meaning there. Listen to what the Bible says. Proverbs 26, 18 through 19. As a madman who casts firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceives his neighbor and says, am not I in sport? Which would mean, I'm just joking. I'm just kidding with you. Now I want to tell you something. You just saw that clip with Jon Stewart and President Obama, where they're yucking it up, talking about grabbing the guns, talking about martial law, and talking about putting us in FEMA camps. And we know that those things are hot topics right now that should be on everybody's radar. And see, that's what they try to do, is dumb it down for us to just joke and laugh about it like it's nothing, because the people who are asleep think it's funny. But those of us who are awake are like, yeah, and it's just a matter of time. Because it's coming down the pipeline. You better believe it. At one time, Phil said they were building 2 dumbs a year, and they cost anywhere from $17 to $26 billion.
Yes.
Now, that's a lot of money just to have your underground secrecy going on. That I'm sure we're paying for. If we're wondering where the trillions of dollars of debt came from, he said it's from our black projects. See, that's stuff that the government wants to do and wants us to fund and doesn't want us to know nothing about it. It's like, oh, it's top secret. Just keep paying the bill. Well, wow. Okay, he said each dumb employs 1,800 to 10,000 workers. Black projects or black ops means secret or hidden. He stated that the dumbs are underground prison camps and slave labor. Look at this next picture, y'all. He said the UN takes orders from the Greys, that's what he called them, which are demons. Remember I told you that they had classified them as best they could? That means there's many different types. And he kept saying grays. He had a shootout with them. He went to meetings where they were at, and that's when he was like, this is enough. He's like, I can't go on with this and not talk about it. and look at them. This was the best picture I could find. But if you could just imagine, like that Karen Hudez said, at those big World Bank Corporation, yeah. These things are calling the shots. Wow. And then when Phil Snyder walked into that UN meeting, that closed UN meeting, and these things were given the orders and given the directives and saying what was going to happen. Not us, these.
Yeah, that's bad.
Okay, so then why did our president, and I say presidents, plural, make deals with aliens?
Why?
How are these aliens seated in power? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4, y'all.
Yeah.
But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, the God of this world is Satan. Because remember, when the earth fell, when it fell into sin, then Satan became the prince of the earth for a short time while Jesus lets him have his reign. The God of this world, so that's Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So now you think about why they were sitting there shaking hands, making treaties, signing their name, and updating these peace treaties, and still working with these aliens. Still, and even letting them come into their bodies and rule and reign in their own bodies and cloning bodies and doing all that they're doing. Why? Okay, so when our world fell into sin because of Adam and Eve, we lost our dominion over the earth.
Yes.
Satan is openly now setting up his authority out in the open. And when our leaders and others made and make treaties and sign their names and shake hands and have an agreement, at that very moment they've come into covenant with Satan.
Yes.
And I want you to know, remember those that serve him. Believe that he created this world because their eyes are blinded, their hearts are hardened, they're lost, they're deceived. And they actually believe him when he says, I created the world. Okay, they believe that they will win. Remember I told y'all in a little nugget I gave that they said they believe, Doc Marquis shared this on Miss Linda's show, that they believe that they will win and have victory during the tribulation, that they're going to kill God, and that they're going to kill Holy Spirit during the tribulation. And they said that right now, Jesus is chained up in hell.
Think about that.
I want to tell y'all something. If y'all are going along with that, y'all are very deceived. That's a lie straight out of the pits of hell. Okay, we already have the victory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, Satan's already been judged. He's not serving his sentence yet, and that's why we're still dealing with him. But very soon, Jesus is coming back to this earth to set up his rule and reign and put his foot down, and it's going to be no more for Satan.
Amen.
Okay, but that's why our leaders did what they did. And we like to think, oh, our forefathers, like we get a picture of George Washington and all these people. Did you know our forefathers were Masons? It don't take much digging to find that out. And that continues on because that's what our leaders are right now is Masons. So they've continued right along those lines. And all that is drawing in demonic entity and power. Those Masons, when they go up the line in that, they're pedophiles. They're homosexuals, they're child murderers, rape, molesting. They do all of that. Sacrifice, drink blood, eat the baby. They do all of that. Don't kid yourself. Now, if you're a Freemason and you're out there and you don't know what you've got yourself into, you need to renounce that. You need to repent.
Amen.
You need to renounce it, break it off your life, tell God you're sorry you ever got involved with it. I guarantee you, if you'll study it out, you'll find out you've linked up with something that is squarely occult and from Satan.
Yes.
It's not, God does not have his approval on that at all. If you want to have friends and just meet and have the guys club, that's one thing. But if you're openly joined into this Freemason business, it's not godly. You're in some hot water.
Amen.
You're going to answer before it When you stand before Jesus Christ, he expects you to know what you're involved in when you get in these secret societies and these things where there's oaths and things being sworn and pledged. My God. So right there, when those things came and said, let's make a treaty, what should have happened if those men that were in leadership roles, presidents, were really godly men like we were all taught to believe they were? What they should have did right then and there was prayed and sought God on the matter, right?
Yes.
That's what you're supposed to do when you're living a godly life. You say, I've got this deal. It's a big thing. I need to pray about this. Let me see what the Lord will tell me. And I guarantee you, Holy Spirit would have said, you better back out, turn, and run from that mess. You have nothing to do with it. The Bible says have nothing to do with darkness, okay? Matthew 6:33 is what they should have done. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, whatever you need. Whatever your needs are would be added to you. And especially our people in leadership positions should have been doing this, but they weren't. Okay? Phil said he had 13 attempts on his life in 1 year. In the Denver airport, the dome is 8 levels deep under the tarmac. He was asked about hollow earth, and he said he's never run into that. There's a lot of people chasing different theories, but he said in the line of work he's been in and down in those domes, he's never run into hollow earth. Now, you see this picture. This has a picture of him here and like one of these little tunnels for their trains that go through there. That's because he said all domes are connected by road and by magneto trains. So trains that run off of magnets.
Yes.
Okay? He said Al Bielek, when you study into the Montauk Project, Al Bielek had traveled on the train from coast to coast here in the United States in 1.5 hours. That's cruising. He said the regular enlisted military guy doesn't know all this stuff, okay? Just like the Freemason who stumbles into the meeting because some good old buddy invited him. And he hadn't done his homework and he don't know what he's involved in. He doesn't know at the top that they worship Lucifer. Let's hope he don't, because otherwise he did it on purpose and knowingly then. It's way worse. But doesn't know that at the top they're worshiping Lucifer, they're sacrificing babies, that at whatever level they start doing their pedophilia and their homosexual acts and all this to draw more demonic power. Well, he said the same thing about our military. He said, the guys at the bottom, the regular military guy, doesn't know all this stuff, but the higher levels do. And if you look at Kay Griggs and what she revealed about her husband, now he's a general, 4-star general, George Griggs. He was trained to be an assassin. He had a clone. He was under mind control. All of that stuff was going on at the top, just like what? It's what happens. It's what we do. It's what our Navy SEALs were doing. It's what our, you know, top military is doing. It's what our top government is doing. Look into it. It's there. Okay. He stated that Sweden was building a dome for $2 trillion. And the money was all being funded by the UN. When asked, where the people that were there were asking questions, and they said, well, where are these domes at? And he said, wherever you have Army, Marine, and Air Force bases, there are domes there. Even at that time in 1996, the police were being trained by the military. See, we think this is something new for us because we feel like martial law is coming. It was happening back then. Look at this picture. He said that there are cities underground in these bases. Cities. And he said these cities have all the accoutrements of life. So you could just live down there. Everything's there that you need. They asked about seeing these aliens or these demons, and he said, now look at this picture. Y'all remember, we talked about this guy. Val Thor. I call him a guy, which he's actually a demon. But he said Val Thor, the one who circled right there, worked directly with the government and had two hearts, six fingers on each hand, six toes on each foot, and his bones are bigger than ours.
Wow.
Okay? This was one that he had a picture of that he carried around with him when he spoke in these different places that openly worked with our government and was alien. Now, when we're talking about these six toes and six fingers on each hand, 2 Samuel 21:20. This is talking about one of those giants,
yes,
which you guys should recognize as Nephilim, okay? And I know I keep saying Nephilim with the I-M on the end, that's plural, and I don't really know what you call a single one. Maybe he's a Nephili. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about.
He's a lie.
And 2 Samuel 21:20 says, "And there was yet again a battle in Gath, where there was a man of great stature, that had on every hand six fingers, and on every foot six toes, 24 in number," that's 24. "And he also was born to the giant." You see that? And that's talking about the fallen angels that procreated with the women, and out of that was born those giants, the Nephilim. Now look at this. This is like carved into some rock. This is in Newspaper Rock, Utah. And you can see the hands, you can see the feet, and they've drawn six toes on there. And remember, we are now discovering that what they've been drawing and carving in these rocks is real. They're drawing what they've been seeing, what they were dealing with, what they lived with. Okay? Someone asked him if he thought the alien agenda and the New World Order agenda go together. And he said, "You better believe they sure do." He said they were going to do an ethnic cleanse of the planet by using biological weapons, and then they would enslave the rest. Look at this. Here's our good little friend, Mr. Bill Gates. And he said that they were going to do an ethnic cleanse of the planet using biological weapons. Now, somebody had made this up. It says soft kill, and you see him there with the medicine and the syringe. It says more like Microsoft kill. Am I right? See, that's kind of like a joke, but because it's just, what else can we do at this point? This guy's so openly, he's openly out against us, you know. But that's exactly it. That's exactly what they're trying to do. That Microsoft kill. Okay? In regards to the aliens, he said, "We are considered bags of food to them. They use our glandular secretions, our blood, and stuff like adrenochrome to feed off of." Now, I had never heard of adrenochrome. I've heard of adrenaline. Okay? He said, "They don't eat us like cannibals eating a hunk of meat." So he said, just to like tear an arm off, let's say, and start, they don't eat us like that. They want our bodily fluids, our blood. They want, you know, what's moving and flowing on the inside of us. That's what they really feed off of. I listened to an interview from Alfred Weber. He had several guests on this interview on a show recently, and it was titled, "Pedophile Network Includes 2016 Trump, Clintons, CIA, Popes, Monarchs, Cannabinoid Solution." Now, I will state this up front. I don't know where Alfred Weber stands as far as his salvation. I've never really gotten a feel that he's a strong Christian. And the same thing with a lot of people that are guests on his show. Sometimes they can be scientists or different people that are bringing knowledge to us that's true information, but they themselves may not have their salvation nailed down where it should be. So I just want to caution you, when y'all are listening to shows like this, to remember that just because they're bringing true information doesn't mean that they have their salvation squared away. And they may be presenting something regarding God that if you are a Christian and rooted and grounded, you could quickly see that they got the wrong idea on that because they are not saved or, okay, believe in the way they should be. Now, on this interview, this guy on screen, his name is Peter Kling. In this interview, Peter Kling, he mentioned something called louche. Now, I had never heard of louche. Okay, Peter is an author, he's a scientist, and he has studied the Bible most of his life and has found so many answers to his biblical questions in science. Now, see, most people try to act like they contradict each other. They don't. They flow together. But what we're seeing is if a scientist makes a discovery or wants to talk about something that proves the Bible and goes along with the Bible, your problem. Red flag. We need to exterminate this one, you know, kill this one, take them out, pay them and shut them up. They're crazy. We're going to discredit them. We're going to, you know what I mean? Then the campaign goes to, we're going to come at you. I've already seen testimony from so many scientists that their careers ended the minute that they had something that supported the Bible. And it was like, oh yeah, we're fixing to ruin you now. Because that's their goal. They don't want anything. They don't want the public to realize, to wake up and realize that the Bible is true. That it really is all about Jesus Christ. Okay? So this is where, and this is what I say too, the same thing I said about Alfred Weber. Just because this guy studied the Bible most of his life, and he kind of has more of a scientific mind and everything, doesn't mean I necessarily know where he stands with his salvation, okay? But what he is exposing is something that we need to understand that the occult world is doing. Listen to this. He explained that louche is the actual capturing of the soul. He said, as the infant child is being bled to death by cutting their genitals and hanging them on an upside-down cross and letting the blood run down the body and collecting it. He said they prefer children for this process. Louche is sold on the intergalactic market as the most powerful drug in existence. Now, when you think intergalactic, it means that people that we look at and think are humans that actually are not, that are either bodies that were cloned and made for demons, are buying this, or people that have openly welcomed satanic power to come and house up in their body, which when we're talking about leaders in government and people in the occult, that's what we're talking about. And straight out aliens. So the people that are doing this is what you've got to know. No true Christian is going to be part of this ever. Right. So everybody else who's doing this is in a covenant with Satan. Whether it's his own minions, demons, or whether it's people who have sold their souls to him. Now, you better know this is happening. I remember I talked about over in Saudi Arabia where they were killing Christians and draining their blood and selling it in vials for, I think, $100 a vial. That was one thing that we heard that was pretty disturbing. But to hear this, that they're killing those little babies, and they're just draining their blood just so they can capture it and sell it. He said that louche contains adrenochrome. I want y'all to remember that word, adrenochrome, and focus on it, because Phil Snyder was one of the first people I heard say that that's what they feed off of, our blood, our human secretions, our adrenochrome. When I heard this guy say that, it was ding. That was ding. That was hit number two on that. And I was like, wow, there's something to this. He explained how the elite, those are the ones that are squarely serving Satan for power and for money, for New World Order control. And the Zionists call us, so you and I goyim, which means human cattle. And the Catholic Church, full of Jesuits and Masons, are using their 800 or 8,000 orphanages and 11,000 plus children's homes, which they have total access to, for sacrifices. You want to know, where are they getting these kids? Where are they getting these babies? And they have what's called breeders, right, where they don't do anything but impregnate these women that are in the occult or made to be in the occult, and take their babies and do this with them. And you better believe it's real and happening right now in 2016. We're not talking about something in the past. He said these elite are wealthy because they sell loosh. They are all connected to interdimensionals, which is the same thing as aliens or demons. And he said, which are demons? He said, high priests and priestesses. And I have a third source saying the same thing. Look at this picture here. He talked about adrenochrome. This is Ted Brower, and this is his wife, Sharon. And someone shared a broadcast with me, and I listened to it. And that's where, and you know, sometimes you're not doing homework just for nothing. God's put, he's putting things in that connects, okay? This man, Ted, he is a university-trained biochemist, exercise physiologist, and licensed nutritionist. In a radio interview on the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges, he shared the same information that Phil Snyder and Peter Kling shared about the fact that they are feeding off of our adrenochrome. That's three, you know, that's three witnesses right there. You know, God says in the mouth of two or three. Now, I want us to remember, let's not forget Donald Marshall's testimony about Queen Elizabeth eating roasted babies. And now we can't forget that she and the Pope and several others were and are wanted for rape, for murder, for molestation, for sacrifice of children, among other things. Okay? Now, SRA survivors, satanic ritual abuse survivors, they've been speaking out about the horrors that they're made to participate in. They've been coming and speaking to me about these things. Now, I'm getting an education because, I mean, a year ago, I didn't know what SRA was. I was like, what is that? You know, a disease? I didn't know what it was, okay? I'm learning now. So someone that I'm currently speaking with shared that at a young age, they were made to do the MK Ultra. They were using that. That's the mind control program on her. And they were making her participate and watch the satanic ritual abuse. She was made to watch the satanic ritual of the two goats, just like you'd see in the Bible. The one sacrifice and the one goes free, the scapegoat that they would do in Israel, okay? They would sacrifice one, and one would go free with all the sins on it. She said, in the occult realm, that, a picture of that, remember, Satan's always copying God. So his picture of doing that was to have two women on an altar in a church, both pregnant and about to give birth at the same time. Now, this is not for the squeamish. This is pretty bad stuff, y'all. They're both up there on these altars about to give birth at the same time. And she said the more pain, the more all of that, the better they like it, the better it is for the occult world. One baby was spared, and so they both were given birth. One baby was spared, and one baby was sacrificed. And she said now, she was young. Her sister, I think, was at this one. I'm not sure. Maybe she was like 9. She was younger than her sister. She said she was made to drink the baby's blood, wow, the one that was sacrificed. And she was made to eat some of that baby. And then she said the satanic priest raped her by the altar, and that was in a form of worship to their god, Lucifer. those are, if you wonder what his worship is all about, there you go. It's about murdering, it's about sacrifice, it's about rape, it's about abuse, it's about molestation, it's about the most vile abominations in God's face. That's what he's done. If he can just think of how to twist it and make it so horrible to try to slap it in God's face, that's what he thinks he's doing. Now, about all of this, that demons being after our blood and our adrenochrome. See, that's why you got to think zombies and all of this stuff. And you think we're just watching crazy TV shows. And all they're doing is flat out telling us fact about what we're living in right now. Enoch 7, 3 through 6. Enoch is not in our Bibles. It used to be in some of the Ethiopian Orthodox Bibles, but I think the Catholic Church put their foot down and Enoch was not canonized in our Bibles. We know that Enoch walked with God and he pleased him. And I always wondered myself, he pleased God so much so that God took him without him seeing death. And so I'd be like, well, surely he wrote something. Well, where's what he wrote? It's outside the Bible. But when you study it and look at it, it plugs into the Bible. And it's quoted from in the Bible. So somebody was worried that I'm adding to the Bible. You know, the Bible says don't add to and don't take away, or God will bring curses on you, especially in Revelation. He says if you do it in that book, he said all the curses of this book are going to come down on you. So I want to tell you something. When God told us to study his word and to rightly divide it, and then he quotes from this book, and he loved Enoch, and then even the book of Jasher, there are places that you can study outside the Bible, even history, even science that proves the Bible. And God's not saying you can't study those things. You're not saying anything about his canonized word. You're not changing that, okay? So we're going to look at this. Enoch 7, 3 through 6. These giants, remember giants is Nephilim, consumed the produce of all the people until the people detested feeding them. They were giants. Remember how tall some of them got? And they were eating everything. They were eating the people out of house and home. So the people were getting sick of them. It's like we can't even produce enough to feed you, right? So the giants turned against the people in order to eat them. And they began to sin against birds, wild beasts, reptiles, and fish. Now, I believe that's not only eating them, but also when they started tampering with the DNA and mixing different species together. Then you get these human hybrid crazy stuff going on. And their flesh was devoured the one by the other. And they drank blood. And then the earth brought an accusation against the oppressors. Okay? Now we're here there still. Or again. Or let's put it this way. It's gotten right back to that time as bad as it was then. Just most of us think I'm just reporting crazy stuff here. But that's not true. Okay? Look at this picture that someone drew. And it's pretty sick, y'all. And you wonder about the people that are making these kind of drawings. Why are they doing that? They're drawing stuff that they're seeing, stuff that's coming into their vision, stuff that they are witnessing. I mean, look at this thing eating people. Okay? We're fixing to get to a couple of more of these things too. Leviticus, what does God think about eating babies and doing all these things? Okay? What does he say? Leviticus 26, 27 through 29. And if you will not for all this listen unto me, that's the Lord, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. So basically he's saying, if you're going to be against me, I'm going to be against you. And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. And you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. This was a curse to the Israelites for not obeying God. Okay? And the thing that brought them to eating their children would be famine. It would be drought. It would be hard times like they never experienced before. Okay? It wasn't that they were just sitting around and decided, oh, I'm going to, you know, eat. No. It was that God broke them down. He was humbling them. Okay? In Ezekiel 5:10, therefore the fathers shall eat the sons in the midst of thee, and the sons shall eat their fathers, and I will execute judgments in you. And the whole remnant of you will I scatter into the winds. Now this was a judgment because they didn't want to obey the Lord's statutes and his judgments. So see, anytime the Lord has people eating their own offspring, their own flesh, it was because they weren't obeying him and honoring him. And he brought those crushing times in of drought and pestilence and war and different things where there was no food. Okay? That's not so with Satan and what he's doing. Look at this next statue. Just so you know, you wonder, I had a lady on Facebook that had this, is where I found this from. And it was like, well, what are we doing with statues like this? He's clearly got a bag full of kids, an arm full of kids, and he's eating one. There's no mistaking what he's doing there. This is called the Child Eater of Bern, Switzerland. Wow. Now, remember, Switzerland, France, that area is where they have CERN cranked up right now, drawing in more demonic power, opening portals and doing all that, right? Donald Marshall talked about little children being sacrificed by the Vril. Remember those Vril were those little reptilian demon things that he talked about Queen Elizabeth working with and having as her pet and everything else. And he said that first they would bring those little children and they would have them be scared by those things, by those monster-looking little alien scary things that you've never seen in life before, right? So scare them. And then they were sacrificed to them, so then they ate them. First scare them, then eat them. Now, that was so that their adrenaline would be raised before they were eaten. That's so that the demon could get that rush, could get that high off of that adrenochrome that was pumped out from them being scared. And you've heard what people have said about when a mama, when the baby's trapped under the car or something, and all of a sudden you get this superhuman strength and you can lift the car up. That's your adrenaline. When your adrenaline kicks in and you get in a situation and all of a sudden you're scared and you're frightened and all of a sudden you have this power come on you. And that's the same thing that they're doing, scaring those kids, scaring that adrenochrome to pump out in them so then they can eat them and they can have their little rush. All of this ties in with what Phil, Peter, and Ted are saying. See, Donald was the fourth person talking about the same thing. Now look at this next statue. I apologize, I forgot to get the location of where this one's at. But this is a statue of Cronos, who was a titan. A titan, we now know, was real. That's Nephilim. Eating his children as they were born, because he feared they would overthrow him. So he did not want his power to be overthrown by his kids. So rather than sacrifice his power or his throne, his dominion, he decided to eat his kids. And you wonder where all this spun out of. And this is clearly a Nephilim. And now we've got statues of them around our world, eating their kids. Well, why don't we ever think, why do we have statues like this? Why would we approve of having a statue like that? Really, we're supposed to be so civilized. And now we see that we've got statues like this right out in the open. This is real, and it's happening all over the world. The top leaders all over the world are participating in these type of rituals. And I want to tell you something. You think that Pope is so holy with his junk and him and all his Jesuits that'll put a hit out on you and everything else? They're doing this stuff right underneath that Catholic Church at that Vatican. They're doing these rituals and stuff. They'll go around the world to do this stuff. It's so sick. They're Masons, and they've pledged an allegiance to Satan. And I'm including in my notes, which will be on the church website because YouTube cuts them off, in my notes, if you go there, I've got a link about a case with the Pope and the Queen, And on this site, there is a very telling video of a woman who has survived. It is her testimony. And I challenge you to watch this woman, and you let your Holy Spirit guide you, whether you think she's telling the truth or not. It's sick what she lived through. The ninth circle is something they participate in, which means they sacrifice babies, they drink their blood, and they do all of these satanic acts. And they get away with it because the police and the courts are part of this. Now, when I say that, I'm certainly not talking about everyone's local police station, okay? I don't believe that every police station around the world. But the ones that are in certain cities and certain locations where they deal with the upper, you know, elite type leaders and stuff, you better believe they're in on it. And they're in on it to the extent that they're there participating in it, is what I'm meaning. And not only will they shut their mouths about it, because they're doing it too, okay? And otherwise, they just kill the witnesses. You get to be a problem, well, we'll just take you out. We'll just put a hit out on you, no problem, okay? This brings to mind those little Hampstead children. I haven't talked about them, but I watched that video. And those little kids, there was too much that they were saying that plugs into things that God has shown me in research and that he's had people testify to me personally. And the stuff those little kids were saying, I do believe is true. What was happening in their schools, that people were coming there and having rituals on Wednesdays and how deep that ran. And that city, those cops and those whoever, they're doing a cover up there. That's what I feel. Pastor Philip, he's in Liberia in Africa. He had a man come in his church and tell him that the Catholics there were eating babies. Okay, these are real people that I know. I had a lady, Miss Terry, at the nursing home where I minister on Wednesdays, that she told me she was raised in Catholic school ever since a little girl. And she said when she would walk around the facility looking for water or different things, I really think she just poked around because she has that kind of personality. But she said she was kind of poking around one day looking for the water fountain, and she said it was in some back room where they had like a curtain or whatever. They had a little baby boys back there, and they were cutting their genitals off and eating them. So you can think this stuff's not happening if you want to, but there's too many people talking about it for us to just brush it under the carpet, okay? Now, with all of this ugliness, this picture that we've painted, I want to take us over to something better to focus on before we leave off of this, okay? Look at this picture. You want to know what Jesus thinks about our children? What does Jesus think about our babies? What does he think about us? The word says that God is love.
Yes.
And anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this is how he is with our children. He wants to love on them. He wants to nurture them and talk to them. He wants to protect them.
Yes.
He's not about what's going on with all of these sacrifices and all of this trying to sell this. Just to get money and to have power. And can you imagine those people when they see a precious little baby, what they must be thinking? Luke 18, 15 through 17. And they brought unto him also infants, and he would touch them, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer, which means allow the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Truly I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Little children are innocent and sweet, and they believe what you tell them.
Yes.
And that's how we're supposed to be to enter in and to receive that kingdom. We want to see everything. We want proof. We want to touch it. We want to know. But God says you've got to be like a little child. You just got to believe what your mama and daddy are telling you. And don't they believe their mamas and daddies? They do. In closing, I want to share one more thing. This is from Carolyn Hamlet, and she was a former Illuminati, and she said she's challenged people. She said, you're welcome to research my bloodline. She said she was raised in the Illuminati, but she's out of it now. She can't help her bloodline, but she's not participating, okay? She said they are told that they are not of this world, that they are of the Nephilim bloodline. The elite have worked to keep the satanic bloodline pure by inbreeding. She was working with ascended masters, and that's no more than an alien. But in the occult, that's what they call them, the ascended masters. Okay? She said the elite are many times possessed or cloned and housing these demons which feed off of human blood for more satanic power. Yeah. There's a lot of study out there like on Queen Elizabeth. I mean, you can pull up the Illuminati families and you can look into them and you can look into their background and find out that they're choosing, like Princess Diana was chosen to go with Charles. That wasn't no, oh, we love each other situation. All these different things where they are keeping it in this bloodline. And they're doing this because they're trying to keep this, you know, satanic bloodline pure. And I want to remind y'all that Satan copies everything that God does. Remember, we're going to break down something she just said. In the beginning, when there was only Adam and Eve, and God told them to be fruitful and fill the earth, then we can assume that their offspring would have to have sleep together to have children, right? If we're not believing there were all these other people, we think it was just Adam and Eve, then their kids were going to have to get together to keep having kids, okay? Same thing with Noah after he came off of that ark. It was him, it was his sons and their wives, right? So then in order to fill the earth again, those sons and their wives, their offspring, they would have to intermingle and marry to keep producing and filling the earth. Now, so you would think, because I used to think, well, that's it. What do you call that?
Incest.
Yeah, incest. And I was like, that's incest. And I'd be like, Lord, that ain't right. What's going on with that? Well, when you go over to Leviticus 18:6, you see that God says, none of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. So at that point, he put his foot down, so to speak, and he said, that's enough is enough. We're not doing this anymore, okay? Looking into that, I found that some research that was saying that God did make an ordinance against incest. That's what we just read there in Leviticus. The reason incest is so strongly discouraged in the world today is the understanding that reproduction between closely related individuals has a much higher risk of causing genetic abnormalities, okay? Those babies aren't going to come out whole and, you know, all of their body parts and form the way they should and their minds intact and that kind of thing. And so you know it's wrong. Don't do it. It's not going to come out good, okay? Now, but they said in the early days of humanity, though it was not a risk due to the fact that the human genetic code was relatively free of defects. So it's almost like to start things off, to get a start was okay, and then God said no more. Now, Satan, however, is encouraging incest to keep a purer presence of evil alive. That's what you see in these royal bloodlines. That's what you see. There was some research that was showing that almost all of our presidents are related in one way or another. That's more of that where they are keeping it in the line, okay? So encouraging this incest. Now, whenever they were told that they're not of this world because they're Nephilim, There's a Christian thing that's N-O-T-W, which stands for not of this world, and that's what I thought of. But they're being told that. But who else should be feeling like that? You and I should be feeling like that. Hebrews 11:13. This is like the chapter, the Hall of Faith chapter, okay? These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. I want to tell you something today. You have got to be feeling like a stranger on this earth. The more you hear about what's going on, the more you see that what the people are doing, it's got to make you feel like a stranger. It's got to make you feel like this world has no hold. It has nothing for me. I don't want anything this world has to offer. I heard one time a lady had got a brand new house. And we were all excited about Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. You just feel it in your spirit. And she was like, oh, I don't want him to come yet. Because she was excited about her new house. That new house was trumping Jesus' return in her heart. Oh, I want to tell you something. You got some house cleaning to do if you feel like that about anything. Whether it's cars, jewelry, clothes, a person, anything in this world, a job, a salary, anything, fame. If any of that stands before Jesus, that's your idol. And that's a problem. So I just want to tell you more and more, you should feel yourself pulling away from this world and longing for Jesus to get us out of here. Because that's what he's going to do for his bride. Okay? And I want to go to prayer, you guys. And when I go into this prayer, I'm trying also to put some things in these prayers and talk about some things so that we can get better equipped. Like we're learning all this knowledge and it's like, okay, and telling people. I know you guys are sharing the videos and the message and telling others. And we're like, so what can we do? What can we do? What can we do? Because we have to remember, just like Mr. Mark said, we're in a spiritual war. Okay, just like King David going up against Goliath in the natural. That's where we're at right now in the spiritual. And we've got to fight. God's equipped us. He gave us armor. He gave us his word. He gave us the sword of the Spirit, which is Holy Spirit. Okay, you got to speak that word out. You got to, and I want to tell y'all, Jesus gave us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He said, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And I want to tell you something. I don't care if we botch it and say it wrong or get it wrong or whatever. Our Father in heaven, he knows we're soldiers in his army. He knows we're in training. He knows we're fighting the fight. He knows where we're at. He's got our back and our front, just to be honest with you. So don't be scared you're going to say something wrong. I've been there where you think, am I supposed to bind? Am I supposed to break? Am I supposed to, how am I supposed to say this? Don't get hung up on the little particulars, okay? The main thing is you're coming in Jesus' name, in his power and his authority. Without that, you can't do nothing, okay? You've got to be walking intimately with him to even say that stuff. Otherwise, it's falling flat, okay? And the other thing is, know that God's got you. He's given his angels charge over you, okay? He's with us in this fight. And it's if God is for me, who can be against me? That's supposed to be your attitude. He's for me, and I know that. You got to know who you are in Christ, okay? We got to start fighting against this stuff, and we fight when we speak out. It's not about trying to wrestle somebody down on the pavement and beat them up and whatever. Your word, when you speak that out in line with God's will, the spirit realm goes into action. I'm telling you, those angels move on our behalf when we're speaking out God's word. That's his commands. That's just like sending orders to those angels, and they get busy for us, okay? So let's pray, y'all. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you Jesus Christ, Lord, he's the best thing. You gave your best in giving him for us. And we thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice, Lord Jesus. We thank you that by your blood and by the life you gave, you redeemed us back to our Heavenly Father. And Heavenly Father, you are sovereign. No one and nothing in this world tells you what to do. You rule and you reign over all. And Heavenly Father, we're asking you, we know that your word equips us. Lord, there's some of us who may be baby Christians, and we're not sure how to step out. We're not sure how to pray more powerful spiritual warfare type prayers. Lord, grow us up. We start out on the milk of the word, and then we move to the meat. And we know we're in a fight because Paul told us we were soldiers. He said, put on the full or whole armor of God. And he said we were soldiers in the army of Christ. And so we know we're in a war. Help us, Lord. Those that are weak, Lord, make them strong. And Heavenly Father, help us to link arms with each other and to pray. Help us to remember that there's power in numbers and to keep fighting and to keep praying about these things, that when more of us do it, we're putting more to flight. We know that when we come together in agreement in prayer, that we put evil on the run. One puts 1,000 to flight. Two puts 10,000 to flight. Help us to remember to pray against this evil as we go about our daily lives. And right now, in Jesus' name, we bind the powers of darkness who are murdering innocent babies to eat them and drink their blood. We have taken all authority and power over you in Jesus' name, and you will listen and obey because you are under our feet. We cage you and we cast you at the feet of Jesus. And in Jesus' name, we loose you, Holy Spirit, to place a hedge of fire around these innocent babies and children and people. Father, we loose your warring angels into this situation to cut the enemy off at the very roots. Heavenly Father, you're an all-consuming fire, and we ask you to burn out this wickedness. For those who have walked away from you, Father, who have sold out to Satan, it's not too late. Lord, even for that most vile and wicked person in the flesh, we can't stand them. It's so hard to believe these people are doing this, but Lord, in the Spirit, we know we're told we're supposed to love our enemies, do good to those that hate us. We're supposed to bless them and not curse them. And Father, you love them. What we have to remember is it's not the flesh and blood. It's the Spirit who's controlling them. So Lord, even for those most wicked and vile people who are perpetrating all of this in our world willingly, we lift them to you now. And we bind all the powers of darkness off of them in the name of Jesus Christ. We loose you, Holy Spirit, to minister to them and to draw them to Jesus for true salvation. They can't turn. They can't change their wicked ways. It's not too late, even for the worst person ever. If they're still breathing, God still loves them and they can still cry out and repent and turn to Jesus. Father, open their ears and eyes spiritually and snatch them out of the hand of the devil. Father, rise up and let your enemies be scattered. Help us to stand in this fight and to witness boldly of Jesus and to share the truth to others and to pray against this evil for those that are lost. And I want to just encourage y'all, if y'all haven't asked God what your purpose is, please ask him. You have a specific task to do in these last days. Don't miss it. You might have a platform, a special platform. You might have an anointing or a mantle that is needed in this hour, and you don't want to stand before Jesus and find out that you didn't even use all the things he equipped you with. Let's use up our resources that he's given us, y'all. Let's ask him to loose those things from heaven. Anything in the storehouses of heaven that's needed in this fight, Father, send it down. Show your children their purpose. And I have some people that I want to pray over. Zach. He is battling a strong drug addiction, and I know he's not alone. And I just want to lift up all of you guys out there along with Zach who are battling a drug addiction. And I want to say that until they are strong enough to break it off of their life and really stand in Jesus Christ, what we can do is we can bind it off of them and keep binding it and pray that they can come up for air and they can get their senses about them and come to Jesus. But we can bind those spirits off of them. And Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I bind those evil spirits of drug addiction. We bind those spirits, those habitual spirits. We bind all unclean spirits off of Zach and off of everyone that's fighting a drug addiction. We bind you in Jesus' name. We command you to flee off of him. We cast you off of him and the rest in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask you to pour your Holy Spirit out in their hearts. Draw them to the foot of the cross for true salvation. Open their hearts and minds, Father, to Jesus Christ. He's the one whom the Son makes free is free indeed. He's the one we need for true freedom. And Lord, Mr. McGarrick, he was asking for his wife's eyes to be opened, and she's not alone. There's so many of y'all that have told me that you've shared these messages with friends and they just don't believe it. They just can't see it. They're not getting it. So, Lord, we want to lift up his wife to you and all the others who are not seeing. Just like you removed those scales from Paul's eyes, we ask you to remove those scales. Let them fall from our family and friends' eyes. Bring them, Father, to the knowledge of the truth. Not only your word and who you are, all those things in your word, but the truth of what's happening in this life right now, because we're in the end times. We're in a fight. We're coming up against that wall, the wall of tribulation, and it's going to get uglier and it's going to get darker before we get out of here. So we need everybody to be awake. And Lord, I want to lift up Christina to you. She's battling against the addiction with food and lust and gluttony and over food, Lord. And I'm with Christina, and there's a lot of people in this boat, Father. And right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind these unclean spirits of addiction, lust, gluttony, all these things that have to do with unhealthy habits with our food, I bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. I cast you off of us in Jesus' name. And Lord Jesus, I ask you, I loose into our lives the fruit that we should be eating, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I loose you, Holy Spirit, into our lives to help us to be healthy, all things in moderation. We ask you, Holy Spirit, we ask you to empower us and help us and to bring that peace into us. And last of all, I want to lift up Jan for salvation. And anybody who's listening to this, who has friends and loved ones who are not saved, we all have them, I do. We don't want them to be lost. We don't want them to say, well, nobody ever told me. Nobody ever shared anything with me. I want to lift up Jan for salvation and all those that are lost. Father, we ask you to draw them. Your word says no one comes to the Father but by Jesus. And no one comes to Jesus but by the Father. So we ask you to draw them to Jesus Christ. Your word says if he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. And we're praying for their salvation, Father. And this is something that we can do, y'all, to intercede. Many people in the Bible interceded. That's something we're supposed to do as Christians. You want to have a strong enough relationship. You stand in the gap. You lift these people up. You intercede and keep praying for their salvation. It's not God's heart for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance and to have everlasting life. So right now for Jan and all those who are lost, we break you, Satan, and your kingdom of darkness off and out of their lives in Jesus' name. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we command you to flee from them in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, we loose you to flow and move in their hearts and their minds. Open their spiritual eyes and ears. We pray for their salvation, Father. Loose your warring angels into this situation. It is a battle. It is a fight for every single soul. And I pray, Father, that you would help Jan to break through her programming. Help her to deprogram. She's had mind control and SRA and all the abuse done to her. And Father, we need a breakthrough for her programming to start breaking down, Lord, that she can come to you. And Lord, I just ask you to bless your children. Give us strength to persevere. Help us, Father, to run this race and to finish strong so that we can stand before you and we can hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We don't want to stand before you and be ashamed not to have even prayed for our family or our friend's salvation or for healing or for change or against evil or anything. We want to know that we used every resource you've given us. So help us, Father, continue to teach us by your Holy Spirit. Bless your children, Lord. And I pray all these things in the mighty and the holy and the precious name of Jesus Christ, my Savior, Lord, and King, I pray. Amen.
Hey, you guys, I just want to take a minute to let's go through how to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And why? Why do we even need to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And also, I'm talking to the people also who maybe walked with the Lord and you went away from him and you just kind of left it behind and you haven't really been walking with Jesus anymore. That's what we call backsliders. I'm talking to both the person who wants to be saved for the first time ever and to the person who's a backslider who wants to come back to Jesus, because this ministry does not believe in once saved, always saved. Okay, God does his part and we do our part. It's a team. We work together. All right, so the first thing is, you might say, and I hear this a lot, and even my husband was saying it, to be honest with you, before we got truly saved, I'm a good person. You know, I haven't killed anybody. That's kind of the standard these days. As long as you haven't killed anybody, you're a good person. Really, listen to this. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned. To be honest with you, because the world is in a fallen state, we all are born into sin, okay? And also for the people that think, "But I'm a good person. I'm good. I don't hurt nobody. I do good things. I help people." That person, then there's scripture in Isaiah that says, "For our righteousness," that's when we're calling ourselves good and we're saying, "But we're good. We're good people. Our righteousness is as filthy rags to God." That's that thing that stinks that you're like, "Ooh, get it out of the house," right? Filthy rags to him. Okay, and he's the standard. He's the judge, Jesus Christ. And so the thing is, if we miss his mark and we don't please him, we're not going to make heaven. So we want to make sure we got our ducks all in a row, right? And if you look at the Ten Commandments, now we're not a legalistic church. We know we're under grace, which is what Jesus Christ brought. But there's people that say, you know, like, "I don't need Jesus. I'm doing the Ten Commandments." Well, if you just pull out the simplest one, I'm just going to pull out one. "You shall not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Okay, that's what lying is. And if you say, I don't lie," that's a lie. Everybody lies. Little kids come out lying. You say, "Did you do that? Did you break this?" "No, not me." Bam. So come on, you know. So here's the thing. We've all broken at least one of the commandments. And in the New Testament, it says if you break one, you broke them all. Because that's the attitude of God. He's like, if you break one, it's just as good as breaking them all, because that's all it takes to separate you from him as one. Okay? So let's pray that prayer of salvation. It's real easy to do, y'all. You just say, "Dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. Please come into my heart. I believe you died on that cross for me, and I believe you rose again, and you are seated at God's right hand. Please help me to live for you all the days of my life. and thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, that prayer, you prayed to Jesus in his name. The rest of them, you're going to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Okay? And you'll get all that as you learn and grow in the Spirit. Okay? To see why you needed to pray that prayer of salvation, the scripture on that is Romans 10, 9 and 10. That'll show you about confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart and how to obtain salvation in case you're wondering how come we're doing that, okay? Now, something that you're going to want to do, you want to right off the bat start establishing your relationship with Jesus, okay? And in order to do that, you want to hear his voice, right? You want to hear him. I don't know a person out there that's trying to be a Christian that doesn't want to hear his voice. And how you hear his voice? Read his word. That's his words written down for you and I to read. That's his voice speaking to you without a shadow of a doubt. Okay? Then when you pray, you speak to him. So what's that? That's two-way communication. You're speaking to him. He's speaking to you. Now you've got a relationship going. Okay? And you want to do that every day. Every day, seek him. You seek him by reading his word and praying and letting him know, I want more of you. When you read the Bible, ask him to open your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears and to give you understanding. And he'll help you understand his word, okay? He wrote it by Holy Spirit, okay? And the next thing that you're going to want to do is get in a good Bible-based church. Now, I'm not pushing any kind of denomination. You just want to find a church that is preaching and teaching the whole Bible, okay? They believe in the Bible, and they believe in Jesus Christ, that he is God and the Son of God, okay? And that it's through him that we have our redemption and our salvation. He's the way, the truth, and the life, okay? And also, I wanted to say that some people think, oh, I just pray for forgiveness one time and I'm done because he died way back when. So now that I asked, it's all already done. No, you need to ask forgiveness and try to make it a habit on a daily basis because we're in these fleshly bodies before we get our glorified bodies. So we battle this flesh daily. So just, you know, when you pray each day at some point during the day, say, Lord, please forgive me for all my sins and go on about your prayer. And he knows you're praying and you're talking to him from your heart and you talk to him just like you and I would talk. Okay. You don't have to have fancy whatever. All right. And ask him to help you grow spiritually. If you want to, let us know that you prayed that prayer. It would be such a blessing to hear your testimony. Okay. God bless y'all.